The following programming is sponsored by Polish American Radio. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio, broadcasting here on 860 AM. And as you know, not only in the Philadelphia, southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware, that's on the radio, but you can tune in on the internet anytime by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link at 11 a.m. every Wednesday until 12 and 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Anytime link. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have a lot of things to discuss today, and you'll be very pleased with some of the things that you'll be hearing. And if you have anything that you would like to say, you can send me an email to michael@AmericanWorkersRadio.com. I'm always pleased to share your information with the general public. I include lots of what you have to say and what you think on the radio program and also in my commentaries. And talking about commentaries, once again today, there is another one of my commentaries on page 2 of the Northeast Times in all editions and the surrounding states as well. And it's talking about more jobs needed in the USA, which we are going to touch on that today as well. I'm going to ask Mark Andel, because we've been talking about that, and I'm going to ask him to say a few words about some articles that we discussed and we shared. And it's very interesting to know what people have to say, what they're looking to do. And, you know, ladies and gentlemen, at this point, we're days away from Christmas. Wow, what a wonderful, wonderful time of year. And as I say that, I want to say that we all know that Christmas is a Christian celebration. And we all see that no matter what a person's faith is, we see the magic of Christmas come alive and all the goodwill that it brings every time we go out. We see people's homes decorated. We see all kinds of shows taking place, gatherings happening. I believe in the magic of Christmas, and I hope that you will be celebrating Christmas throughout this coming season. And of course, in the process, support American workers and look for American-made labels as much as you can. And as you know, during this special time of year, many people go out of their way to decorate their homes. And it's good to see all those holiday decorations. And the fact that people go out of their way to put up that stuff because they want to be part of the celebration, not only of the Christmas holiday, but the beginning of the new year. And during December, it's one of the reasons we've been promoting December as National Small Business Month. It's another opportunity to support the businesses that are in your local communities that keep many people employed. And you know, many of you who listen now or at any time during the week and the weekend, you know that your local businesses are very important to your community. Each of us has seen how shopping in America has changed. It really has changed in the last, especially in the last 10 years. Many people prefer to shop at local brick and mortar stores where they can see the items before they make a purchase. However, some customers choose to do a portion of their shopping on the internet and have the delivered items come right to their door. And well, however you choose to shop, seek out as many items as possible that are made and assembled in the United States of America, because we know that we're supporting American workers from the point of production to the point of sale. It's fine that we're importing some portions of the product, but as long as our American workers are number one, that is what I'm trying to encourage people to promote. Now, the message of the Buy American Made campaign and all of our ongoing efforts, like December as National Small Business Month, urge people to take every opportunity to support your local businesses and our fellow Americans. You know, the American Made label reflects the workmanship and livelihoods of our fellow Americans. And you know, for 25 to 30 years now, as the global economy continued to grow, the American people have seen that foreign merchandisers are working very hard to have their products, the products made in foreign countries, more available in America than American products. And that's very unfortunate. And I blame it all on the people in Washington, as well as the business people, not getting together and saying, what are we going to do to keep our businesses here, our factories, our all kinds of service industries here in the USA? We should have a law in this country that never allows us to go less than a 50-50 balance of whatever is sold in stores. Now, Mark Andel, as you know, is part of our panel, and he has a store in New York. It's the Made in America store, and I'm encouraging you to support him at this time because he's an unbelievable character. And I want to say thank you to Larkin Conley, Bruce Bassett Powell, Mark Andel, and check out his store, and our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky. And when you go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com, you'll see right on the top under the pictures, help us promote December as National Small Business Month. It also has some posters that you can print out, and I've seen some posters. We have offered some posters in communities. I went out and distributed some posters, and I was pleased to hear what the people had to say. And, you know, today I want to talk about helping people with all of our campaigns in the United States. And for the record, and I'm going to pull Mark in here in just a second. For the record, the manufacturing and construction industry is hiring. But unfortunately, there aren't enough people trained to fill the jobs that are open right now. There have been many articles that are published in many broadcasts and newspapers all over the United States, and they're begging young people to focus on manufacturing and the construction industry. Mark, you saw the articles, and thank you for sending them to me. I hope you received some of my commentaries. And what do you think about what's happening with this going on with not enough people in the manufacturing and the construction companies?
Yeah, how you doing, Mike? And I think Larkin's back. Great to hear. Bruce, I hope you're on. And Henry, you know, happy holidays to all. Yeah, Mike, as we discussed, you know, worker shortage is number one. And I say that this week, you've seen the article I sent you.
Yes.
Just on different worker shortage and people. I don't care if you're a small business. I've got local auto repair businesses looking for one guy, two guys, because they're getting so far out on their schedule. I got a friend that opened a second auto repair facility, but can't run them both because he's lacking employees, and it's too hard to go from back to forth. He unfortunately opened one, but doesn't have the people, and he's getting way out on his scheduling. So I also, Mike, talked to the SBA this week, a gentleman, Paul, that runs it, and Larkin may know. But we had a good talk A to Z about, you know, I wanted to know what's out there for business, what's out there for help. I said the SBA is the only one that's ever helped me. Really good conversation. And long and short, you know, he's been there seven presidents, you know, and, you know, my old friend Frank there was there 11 presidents, and he's retired now. But the point is, when a new election happens and there's a new a person becoming in a new administration, everybody, 90% plus, changes. The old are out of a job and the new come in, and it takes months, 6 months more to get acclimated and back into the run. So the SBA is under a lot of change. Donald Trump coming in, it'll slow down the process. But they did take out a lot of regulation, Paul mentioned. A lot of, they made it easy for banks to deal with the SBA, which was always asked, and there was a rumor that they weren't. But at the end of the conversation, Mike, he came up, the biggest problem for businesses is worker shortage. So everything this week led to a worker shortage, no matter what size business, small or large. You can't grow a business, you can't grow an economy, you can't grow a country without workers, Mike.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, after we got the article and discussed it, I did some, you know, talking to different people, and I learned a lot, Mark, as to where we have a ton of younger people who are able to go into these jobs or should be able to go into the jobs, but many have all sorts of addictions and other problems. And so as a result of that, we are hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people that could be in the workforce within 30 days if they could, you know, get through their problems. We have millions of people that are all in all kinds of, you know, issues with mental illness and struggling because they don't feel confident about themselves. And U.S. manufacturing and construction companies are pleading for people because they have grants, they have contracts from both government and businesses flowing in right now. And those industries need people. And they all see the problem. The biggest problem, they say, is that for over 25 to 30 years, schools that offered various levels of trade programs have gone to all academics. And the trade programs, schools, there are 7,500 schools in America, less than there were before, offering the trades in the schools. And if you just graduated one person from each of those schools, look how many people you would have, and many of them have hundreds. This is where government in Washington helped really to screw the American people. And I not only say in Washington, it's also state people, state representatives, Congress people, state senators, not just the ones that go to Washington, but the people who govern the states. No one discussed this. They keep saying, well, now those jobs are going abroad and this and that. I want to tell you, a lot of the people who don't have self-confidence today are as a result of not receiving a lot of training in their schools. And that's over the last 25 years. You talk to them and they say, well, I guess I should have, you know, but I should have gone to another school. And, you know, then after I graduated, I was offered a position to go into another place here in Northeast Philadelphia. We had those two ladies on our show about 2 years ago, but then there's a cost factor involved. So why should they do that after high school when they could have done it in high school, when we are paying that bill? Now, Mark, you saw in that article too, not only are they begging the younger people to get into the programs, manufacturing institutes projects now that there will be 2 million extra jobs in the country in the next few years, but we don't have qualified young people to fill the jobs, people who are retiring or heading to heaven forever. You know, there's nobody to replace them. And many people this has to be turned around. Mark, when you go, there are different programs out there for registering to go to various jobs. There's also one Intuit. You register online to see what's available. It's unbelievable the amount of jobs that are available, and it's unbelievable the amount of people who've graduated America's schools in the last 15 years that could have filled those jobs. And they're not, as you know, they're not small paying jobs, but they have never been in this situation. They don't have the discipline of being at that, you know, at that trade or being technology jobs. They don't have the discipline. It wasn't offered in their high schools. Now, also a family member of mine told me that down the shore in Cape May and all, they had a number of these trade schools, and now there are none left. How is that possible? The schools are filled with kids, but they had offered no option to go to a trade school. Mark, what do you say about this? Is this something that we should be pressing our national leaders to get off their butts and do something positive?
Yeah, you know, yeah, I think me and you talked yesterday a little bit about, you know, when I went to public school, high school, kindergarten, graduation, my school was Iroquois, and we had metal shop, wood shop, power mechanics, electronics, electricity, all right in the school. And I've said that many times. That's where you could get exposed if you were becoming a doctor. You still learned how to work a screwdriver, a hammer. The neat thing I did learn, too, that, you know, Linda McMahon, Mike, if you remember, Trump had chosen her on his last term to run the SBA, and I actually met Linda, and she toured the Made in America store in General Welding, and she was a hands-on, fast talker, smart person. And I just found out that Linda McMahon's going to run education, and Kelly Loeffler is chosen to run the SBA, and I only bring that up. I think it's neat that Linda McMahon, being a hands-on and really getting business, she actually did visit every SBA site. That was her goal, and to brand the SBA better was her goal on her last term when she ran the SBA. But I do, Mike, like that Linda's going to be in charge of education, and maybe there's hope where skilled trades gets more respect and gets more attention, and they develop better programs that make this standard, and they recognize and get a better understanding of the actual problem that's out there.
Yes. I'm very pleased that you announced that. If they go through, I feel we will be able to get more and more people involved. Even radio programs during the last few years were very fearful about saying too much about the administration, their lack of, you know, accountability to the general public and things like that. I have written them. I have contacted them on many occasions, and I'm sad to say that no response comes other than it was received and it's under consideration. That's it. Nothing. No response, because I have no idea why there is no response. And that's something that maybe these people can do something about it. Restoring those extra schools, those thousands of extra schools, high schools, with those programs would be a great help. And by the way, once an industry sees that you have the workers in this country, they will be pressured to keep their businesses in the United States. You know, everybody says, oh, the tariffs are going to kill us and all. Tariffs are not placed on businesses doing business in America. Tariffs are placed on the stuff coming over from other countries. That's where the tariffs are coming. I can tell you from years ago in my traveling to Poland and Germany and Holland and, you know, every place that I went, I saw the tax on foreign made goods that came from abroad in America too, those VAT taxes that were put on there. It's no different. It's just the fact that they called it a value-added tax, a VAT tax. And that's how they did it. But in today's world, we are looking, the reason they put the VAT tax on the product is because they figured, wow, it came from the United States of America. Wow. Today, we don't have a VAT tax. coming in from overseas. They took our jobs. We should have a VAT tax or whatever you want to call it, VAT tax, or because they took. I was out shopping with a couple of people the other day, and I want to tell you something. The amount of foreign-made clothing that is now in our stores, it is frightening. And even the salespeople tell me, people are asking, do you have a section with American-made? Boy, that cheers me up. And they say, no, we don't. You have to look through. You may find some stuff. But mainly, it's all foreign-made products. It can't continue. It can't continue. Mark, keep us posted on these people that the new president is going to put in there. And SBA has to have more outreach to the businesses, because I'm seeing a lot of for sale and for lease signs on local businesses, which I don't think is good to happen. People have to understand, you know, we're living in very changing times, but we want to change those times so it's positive for the people here in the United States of America. And speaking of Larkin Connolly, I would like to turn to Larkin Connolly and say, Larkin, how was your vacation for the last few weeks? He's on mute. Bruce Bassett Powell, how you heard our conversation? What yeah, are you thinking? Absolutely. What are you thinking about the deal with what's going on with the businesses leaving America and bringing all that stuff over here to the United States for sale? You know, if we made 50% of it, all those people that are out of a job, and we're not talking about 5 or 10 million people, we're talking about big amounts of people that need training to get back into the workforce. What are you thinking about what you heard us speak about?
Well, you know, I was an importer for many years, Michael. I imported products from Southeast Asia. I bought fast aluminum products from Poland and from Hungary. And the tariffs that we paid were, we didn't pay much tariff for anything coming in from Southeast Asia because they were a most favored nation in terms of being an emerging economy. But we had to pay tariffs on stuff that came in from Poland, and stuff that was cast aluminum that came in from Poland and Hungary, and cast aluminum that we brought in from the United Kingdom. And that was pretty high. So it was a, you know, we had to pass that on to the people, for our customers. But you know, it's the way of the world.
Well, you know, let me ask you this, Bruce. You mentioned that you brought in some products from Asia. Now, were they, when you brought in the products from Poland and from Hungary, did that really jack up the price of your production of the products here in the United States that much?
Well, anything that came from the common market did jack it up, because they were not emerging economies. They were fully fledged economies profiting from what they could do. And then it's the same going the other way. Goods that are sent from the United States to England get VAT as well as tariffs going in and out, and they get VAT all the way up the line to the consumer.
Well, you know, Bruce, I have to tell you, when I was in Europe, I visited 9 times and went to many countries. When I saw the items, many times I saw the VAT tax on them, and I chose a local product. I thought, hey, I'll support locals. I always had that idea to do that. It's nice to, you know, see a product name that you know from America, but why not support the local? And that is the mentality they're trying to do here in the United States. Support America first. And of course, you can have 50% of the products coming from other countries. But how about looking out for American workers and America businesses first?
Well, that's good enough to say, but, you know, there are also trade deals that countries make with each other, and the U.S. has plenty of them. I'll take, for instance, Mark's snow equipment that he sends. If the U.K. gets through some huge, big snowstorms, they're going to want equipment to deal with it. And they're going to have to get it from the U.S. or somewhere. At least I don't think they make a lot of that stuff in the U.K. So that's how free trade works. You scratch our back, we'll scratch yours.
Right, right.
Isn't that right, Mark?
Yeah. You know, it's we do, like Boss Snowplows. They're manufactured in UP, Michigan. And the country is good for like 100,000 snowplows, say, between the manufacturers. But Boss does have presence in Europe. You know, I've met the gentleman, real cool, real nice guy, and they were putting them on their street, you know, trucks that are narrower, and they had to be custom designed. And Bruce, you know a lot about the size of the trucks, and it was different, but we adapted them, Boss adapted them to fit them trucks because they weren't familiar with the types of equipment we had. Not that they had as much baby snow, but they knew Boss was a very good product, so Boss adapted to them and formed some relationships. They don't sell as many, but they definitely have presence in Europe. Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's how the whole world economy works. You know, I don't know how these tariffs that are being proposed are going to work exactly, but you know, we make treaties with each other, which is the way trade is, how this whole trade began millions and millions of years ago. And it hasn't changed.
You know, Bruce, you've been on the international market. Do you feel that there's a balance of trade between America and other nations?
It depends on what, you know, every country makes different deals with the United States, and the European Union does, and so does the United Kingdom. And, you know, they're more expensive, but, you know, I think that everybody benefits from trade treaties that are made.
Yes.
And sometimes they're free trade when both sides say, well, we won't tax either of us. And that happens a lot.
Well, you know, I'm all for world trade, but I'm also disappointed that so much of our manufacturing has left the United States. When you look at the amount of people that worked in manufacturing 15 years ago, and you look at the amount today, it's millions and millions less. But see, when we talk about manufacturing, I said this in the past, every time you have a manufacturing company, you have another 6, 8, 10 jobs that are all being supported, whether it's the guy who orders the products, the guy who's running, you know, the payroll system, the person who's doing the packaging, the delivery, the shipments to other states or parts of the city, whatever. We're not getting those jobs here in America. And this is where we have a lot of people disappointed and, you know, going into all kinds of, you know, we've had a lot of people going into various addictions and things like that. I think if there were more jobs, there would be a lot less of those problems, because a person who feels good about themselves does not, you know, look to become part of, you know, the underworld of America or the world. And that's the bottom line from what I see. And believe me, working in human services, I have a good opportunity to speak with the parents and all those types of people who have young members of the family who've gone through some addictions. And they said, The guy should have learned more trades. He would have done very well. He just got involved in everything but having his focus on a job. I'm using gentle words about that. But, you know, most of the people, as I go out, they are very angry over inflation. They feel that what happened in America in the last 3.5 years has been a very hard lesson for us to learn. Very hard. First of all, a president put in this executive order. Secondly, our people in Washington did not react to it as they should have. And 3.5+ years later, we are suffering beyond anything. It's unjustified. Inflation's really unjustified. It's now too expensive for many businesses to be remaining in America. So they're in many cases being forced to close and move abroad. And yet still, in Washington,
get workers here in America to fill the jobs.
Well, we got to get these people back into the trades. We have lots of schools. Those schools should be also promoting trades and everything else, technology, repair. You know, it gets me very disappointed when I call for a repair and they say, yes, we're training a new team to do those repairs. And I say, oh, how long will that be? And they say, well, they should be arriving in America within the next 2 weeks. And by the time we fully train them, I'm thinking they're arriving from somewhere else. What about Americans? What's this?
Well, Michael, we haven't got the jobs to fill, so they've got to come from somewhere.
Well, I know, I can tell you right now, I see a percentage of our young people that should be doing a lot of good things for themselves, and it has to be addressed. That's all I'm saying. Hopefully, as Mark mentioned, those two people are going to be appointed and do a good job, and let's see what we can do to encourage them to promote jobs, get the trades back into the school. Nothing is going to happen overnight, but it has to happen. Yes, Larkin.
Michael.
How are you doing, guy?
I'm hanging in there, my friend.
Well, your cold sounds better.
My cold sounds better. Well, if what I've been on for the last 2.5 weeks is a vacation, I would love to see where you go to vacation. Oh, boy. But, you know, whatever. The good Lord put me through a handful of drills and then asked for 2 tickets to the rosary. Friday morning mass and my choice clean. So
good.
For those people who thought of becoming priests, that was a joke. listen, what you're failing to understand is this is not the same place as it was. It's not the same universe, let alone world. You know, it just isn't the same. And we can try to support each other. We can, but every solution that I've read about doesn't work. They just flat don't work.
So, but Larkin, I'm gonna ask you a question. You've read some solutions, but they haven't really been discussed in the major media. There's so few people discussing this, what the needs are. It would be nice if our young people knew, our young people's parents knew what is needed, what's going to be a success, what's going to keep them nicely employed and make some decent money. They're not discussing that. what's going on in our news media. It's the same thing, the negativity. I want to see young people graduate with not only an academic certificate, but with some level of trade. Even if they don't go into that trade, they at least know how to fix something. They know how to, you know, look at something electrical, or, you know what a man comes to the house to say, I'm going to repair it or whatever. Know something. When I hear that these schools have closed in the last 20 years because the boards of education say, well, those jobs are no longer going to be in America. That doesn't make sense.
I understand that, but I just came back from 3 weeks ago from 17 days in England, and you know, the first day I got there, we jumped in on a train and took a train home. And I said, you expect me to cover carrying my luggage from the train to your house? You're out of your mind. It was two blocks. And people say, well, I've got to go to the grocery store. They get on a train. I've got to go here. I've got to go there. We are a totally different kind of mobile, spoiled nation that drives cars, pollutes the air, very, very self-centered. And I hate to call a spade, but that's just flat the way it is. It's just not the same world.
I agree.
And I can pick up the phone and do a one-hour radio show from Hampstead, East Great Britain, to Philadelphia, and that cost me $1.87.
Oh, that was a good deal.
Just as clear as a bell that happened. But that's what I'm saying, that there are other people in this universe
Larkin, that's a good response that you gave. But let me ask you this. When you were in England, did you find that they are training their people for jobs needed in England? Or were they depending on outsiders to come to do those jobs?
You know, I call on Bruce. It's a lot different than the United States. A lot of people, you know, they don't live the work. They work to make a living. Is that correct?
That's exactly correct.
They respect life. They respect art. They respect innovation. And they're standing over there, and I give Bruce more guff about this than ever. Standing over there, saying, well, don't forget England invented this, and don't forget England invented England, Great Britain, is the United Kingdom, which was created just a little bit before the United States. The United Kingdom, they do important things.
Now, Larkin, I'm going to ask you a question. What percentage of the clothing made in England, I'll ask this Bruce too, what percentage of the clothing made is made in England that's sold in England? I'd like to know that.
Great Britain was one of the first countries to mass produce clothing back in the 1840s and 50s. But I think it's just the same as the United States. If you want to buy a T-shirt, it's going to come from Thailand, Indonesia, anywhere but the UK, and it's going to cost £12 instead of £35 that it would cost if it was made in England. So there's no there's no uproar about being make stuff in England there.
Well, let me ask you this, Bruce, in response to that. Does everyone in England that needs a job have a job?
No, it's the same there as it is here. They're actually, it's the other way around. There are more jobs open than people are applying for.
Now, let me ask you this. This is the big question, because Mark and I were talking about this. In America, we have the working age and able-bodied people that could be working that are just not working. Is it the same in England? Did you find?
Hello?
Yeah, if I can intercede here, Bruce. In America, attempt to be purists, thinking that we're the biggest, the baddest, best in the world, when, we have the biggest army. Well, yeah, we have the biggest consuming nation. I understand that. But there's not an ounce of humbleness in this country right now. And it doesn't seem as though it's going to apparently get any better. Trump announces these whatchamacallits, and here comes the president of Canada one day later and says, what the hell are you talking about? What are you talking about? You're our biggest trade customer. We're your biggest trade customer, and that doesn't count Mexico, who is even that much bigger. And so...
Well,
all we think about is illegal aliens, which to me was a problem.
Well, see, Larkin, let me just say this about the illegal migrants, the illegal, whatever you want to call them. The people in America that came to this country legally, that came to the country with the desire to become an American. They did not come over any border. They came here after filling out the papers. They were sponsored by businesses and all. They are very disappointed that this has taken place in the United States of America. It makes them and all of their efforts to come here legally look like they were foolish, when they could have maybe came through the back door and got all the health and care and motels and everything else free of charge. Working in human services, I will tell you this, it's disappointing when we hear that migrants are being given our shelters when our American people are not being given those shelters anymore. They're, you know, pushed aside because they're an emergency situation. Now, that all of this was poorly thought out. You don't bring 20 people in your house to move in for 6 months, Larkin, if you only have 3 bedrooms, is the point. We brought these people in. Most people don't know what to do with them. We're giving them housing, food, health care, travel, the whole deal. That's not what America was founded to do. Additionally, America's welfare system was put in effect to help Americans in a struggling situation after they prove their situation. And also to help those people who were here legally, if they had a point in their life that they needed some help from the government. not to be a Santa Claus 365 days a year because some person in Washington says open the border and let everybody and their grandmother come through. This doesn't make any kind of sense. My suggestion is all of these cities and states that are saying that they want to allow these people to stay there forever, no federal dollars. Let the cities and states pay the bill, and we'll see how the city and states people react to it. You know, it's up to us. I see more and more. Mark, is it up to us, the people who are concerned about our future, to make sure that our problems with the businesses end and that we're able to encourage expanding our product lines here in the United States? And I know that there's a shortage of people working in human services. I know exactly the numbers of people that could be sent to training schools. And in fact, by the way, if we could get these people into better situations in their young lives, we would have a good workforce. But there's just the addiction industry has become a job in itself. And the people who work in the addiction industry don't want it to change. And then when you have all this stuff coming from all different countries over the southern border and wherever else, it only adds to the problem. And yet it's not being addressed by the top people. It hasn't been addressed by the top people for many years because they don't know exactly what to do. It's just like someone said to me, they stopped coming to certain areas of the city where the meter maids are. And I said, well, I understand. They said, well, some people come from other states. They're coming here for anniversary parties or something. They don't understand our app systems and all that stuff. They don't know where the parking lots are. They come out, they get a ticket or cars are towed. And when I contacted the elected people, they say, Michael, the ticket industry, the parking industry is now a business of its own. Parking should not be a business. When you go shopping, you should not have to be putting your, you know, big money out in a parking meter. They should give you that time, that pleasure to help those small businesses. We're promoting efforts like December is National Small Business Month, and they double up on the meter people because it's a good time of year to get tickets out there. There's just somebody has to start talking to local people that you don't keep taking in taxpayer money and giving it out like Santa Claus. Everyone has to earn their share in the world these days. That's my point. You know, Mark, in today's business world, every business has to earn enough to pay their bills and to pay their employees. You have to earn your way to success, not stand there in line demanding your success from government. Government is not meant to be your mother or your father. The days of I'm a privileged person, I'm a privileged employee, they're all gone. That's past history. The last 3.5 years gave us a lesson of a lifetime. You have to work hard to keep people employed. And if you don't have the money to keep them employed, thank you. We just don't have the money to do it. But in America, we should have the money to do it. We should have the people contributing. We should have the people able to go to a job that gives them enough money to support themselves and their families. 10 years ago, it was a little easier. Today, with technology and everything else, we are being killed. I've gone out to the small businesses in the last 2 weeks, and I'll tell you, some of the stories I'm hearing, taxes went up on the buildings, customers went down because of inflation, customers went down because some people are getting stuff delivered to their door through all these delivery services. It's a different world. Now, if your business needs some help, you should be out there. The council people, the senators, the congress people should be out there saying, wait a minute, we can't continue to do this to you. You know, one of the politicians told me this, and I didn't say anything. I didn't give a response because I thought, oh, I'll make a good response in the paper. He said, well, Michael, it's this way. If a business needs money, they have to lower prices. They have to do something. If government needs money, we just raise taxes. What's so not understandable about that? I thought to myself when I heard it, well, taxes are going to have to go up. We need the money. Now, Mark, if a politician told you that, what would your reaction be?
Yeah, it's hard raising taxes. You're hitting on things. When you go talk to small businesses, you're seeing what's really going on, and disposable income's down. Utilities are up. I mean, skyrocketed in the last 4 years. A lot of struggle. I want to bring up a few things. I mean, when you have effort, you give more effort. We want people to have more effort, more action, and you create more problems. But if you're having problems, you're actually living and breathing and doing things. One thing I did find interesting, United States, our population, 340 million of the world, 8 billion, is only 4%, Mike. We're only 4% of the world population in the United States, and I think that's a big statement. You know, when we talk about making things here, that's fine, and being worldly and global, and we all agree we can be 50% fair. But we got to love America. We got to love the country we're in, and you're right. We've got to find people that want to invest their time. We're not going to answer things. We're always the road to construction is always a road to success is always under construction. You're always going to be having troubles and challenges, but you've got to debate them. You've got to figure them out. You've got to try things, fail, succeed. And that's, our work ethics has changed. Our culture has changed. We're producing lazier people. It's just a fact.
You're right. Wow. That is a good, we're producing also, Mark, people that don't have the ability to even get an idea, is this kind of a job for me or not? Do I want to be a heart surgeon or do I want to be an electrician? That we're just not producing the people because our schools have walked away from being the people who train our young people for the future. The amount of people that we have that are working age and able-bodied but are not in the workforce is pretty staggering here in the United States of America. And we have over 600,000 homeless people. People who were in the military came home and had all sorts of problems. How are we not looking out for these souls that are under I-95 or any of these highways and in tent cities and all? Why are we doing that? And opening the door for everybody illegal to come here and gobble up everything that they want. Larkin, all of our families at some point came to this country legally. They were invited in most cases by businesses because at that time they needed workers, adult workers, to man those stations. And so they brought in whole families. That's not how it is today. We're saying we don't have the workers. We don't have the jobs also. We don't have the jobs. If you go into a store, if you look around, Mark, you go into stores, you look around and you see everything is an American made. What job do we have here in America? Stockers and salespeople and cash register. That's about it. There's no executives to make sure that everything is quality control and stuff like that. There's no two ways about things. We either start looking out for America and start finding ways. I would like to see government people sit down and say, we tried everything possible to make sure that every person in America is well prepared for the job force by the time they graduate from high school. Mark, if I asked you that, I'm going to ask you, the high school that you attended, did they have trades in at the time you attended?
Oh, yes, they did. I would like, Larkin, did you have something to say?
Well, I did, and but it changes the subject from what we talk about every week to something unique. And I think that's what our new president has brought up to us. So I have three quick points I'd like to make, four quick points. First quick point is Paul Sorvino still driving to work? My buddy at the SBA.
Oh yeah. Well, Paul Hoff is there. No, Frank is retired. He said he's been out for about a year, but he's 91.
Okay. Number one, you talked about the SBA, and you talked about the Department of Education. Those are two organizations in our government that dog or God or whatever it is.
They're
absolutely flattened. When you say the SBA has got things going in the right direction and a new president comes in and they have to start from scratch, that's what is commonly known as the swamp.
Yeah.
Every 10, yeah. You have a new election and a new guy in there, you got to rebuild the swamp.
Yeah, it's a shame. Everybody gets let go that was there, yeah. And you got to start over.
Right.
You know, I think that's
they know where they are. I saw a friend of mine at the White House from the SBA, and we had a conversation, and they had just lost to Obama, I think. And he said, yeah, I've got my interview, my resume out on the street. And I said, you'll find a job. Are you worried about finding a job? And he said, well, you know, there's a job grading system, and I might have to go back two grades, which will mean cuts. And the Department of Education and the SBA now think that they're going to lollygag through the month of January without somebody grabbing them by the scruff of the neck and saying, listen, you are not going to spend our money the way you're doing it right now. The Department of Education, which was found by Jimmy Carter and on the very, very day that he took over, education became screwed up. So,
Larkin,
I think we ought to talk next week about answers. What is this new administration going to do or not going to do?
That's a good, I like that. That's very good. I'd like to see some questions about that. If somebody has something to say, send me your ideas to Michael at AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Larkin, I hope that voice gets back to 100%. Bruce, thank you for your help. And Mark Andel, remember, you are the best. And make sure you remember that Mark Andel has his link next to his picture on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com, the Made in America store. Go there, shop online, and they always send you a thank you when you make a purchase for helping support American workers, American made. And that's what I like to see and hear. Ladies and gentlemen, until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I want to wish you and yours the very best. Stay well. Remember, December is National Small Business Month. Our national small businesses need you, especially during this last month of the fiscal year. Have a great one. God bless.